There is a legend told about Marco Polo's meeting with Genghis Khan. Desperate for conversation with the dreaded ruler, Marco Polo told Genghis Khan the story of Jesus. And Genghis Khan liked the story, and he listened attentively to the whole of it, to the whole telling. But as Marco Polo came to the events of Holy Week and told of Jesus' betrayal and scourging and crucifixion, the fearsome Khan became more and more agitated. And as soon as Marco Polo pronounced the words, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, Genghis Khan exploded. What did the Christian God do then? Did he send thousands of legions down upon them to destroy those who killed him? Marco Polo's answer clearly disappointed Genghis Khan, who remained unconverted. And no doubt he left his meeting with Marco Polo thinking that he had never heard something so completely ridiculous in his entire life. Something about a story of a so-called Messiah who could or would suffer torture and death? A less despotic man than Genghis Khan has seen in this story little more than nonsense. After all, the cross of Christ defies comprehension. It violates and opposes everything that the world holds up and worships. Power, might, self. To worship a crucified God is to embrace something that does not make sense. The Apostle Paul writes that it seems to many like utter foolishness. If Jesus really is who he says he is, then at 1,000 different moments, he could have called upon the full weight, the full might, the full glory of heaven to deliver him from his tormentors, to overwhelm his oppressors. And yet that's exactly the opposite of what he did. He gave himself over to the cross freely, willingly, obediently. Our culture loves sound bites and bumper sticker sayings, and so it is commonplace to say that Jesus died to save us from our sin. And that is, of course, true. The ways that we willingly and unwillingly separate ourselves from God are taken up into Christ and crucified with him. In his death, he takes upon himself the full judgment of human sin. And as a result, at the end, he feels the utter separation from God that human sin creates. We get a glimpse into that crushing weight of that burden in Mark's gospel when Jesus cries out in agony at his death. But freedom from sin is not the summation of what happened on the cross. That is not all there is for us. The gospel of the crucified Christ is that God became the very least of us in order to rescue us from the hell we have created for ourselves. The gospel of the crucified Christ is that God's strength is actually found in weakness. God's justice is grounded in forgiveness. That revenge is overcome by mercy. That losing ourselves is actually finding ourselves. The gospel of the crucified Christ is not only about the price that God is willing to pay to free us from sin. It is also the culmination of the story of who God is. It's the culmination of the story of who God created us to be. The trouble is that we are just so good at forgetting the cross, though we put it on everything. We are so good at forgetting what the cross really means. A few years ago, I read a history of the city of Jerusalem by Simon Montefiore, and it tells the story of how often Christians from different churches and different cultures would get into conflict in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the church that is built in the heart of Jerusalem atop the place of the crucifixion and the resurrection. How often, Simon Montefiore describes in this history of Jerusalem, they would get into conflict on, of all days, Good Friday. It got to be so bad that for several years in the middle of the 1800s, monks and priests and supporters would carry weapons into the church in anticipation of conflict. In 1846, a riot broke out, and 46 people were killed on Good Friday. On the very same ground where the cross of Jesus was thrust into the air. On the very same spot where he forgave his enemies, where he embodied God's profound rejection of violence once and for all. In that very same place, these Christians took out clubs and knives and waged battle against each other. Such behavior shows how much more like Genghis Khan Christians are than the Lord we claim to follow. We are willing to admire the story of the cross, to listen carefully as it is told to us year after year. But so often our lives reveal our rejection of that for which it stands. Tragically, the ideology of the Roman Empire, the very empire that perpetrated the crucifixion, it is that empire that we follow, that we have all too often manifested to the world. Do you know that the Roman Empire also insisted that it was waging peace in the world? That the Emperor Caesar was considered the Son of God, that he was also known as the Prince of Peace, and that one of the propaganda slogans that was perpetrated around the empire was peace through victory. Peace through victory. But you see, the victorious peace of Rome came through military domination, the conquering and subjugation, the oppression of people under its rule. And you can guess what happened to anybody who didn't get in line. Now, we may not have shown up today with weapons in tow, but our society is no less enslaved to notions of might and force and brutality. We continue to seek out peace through victory. We continue to wage wars to create peace, to kill people so that we can show that killing people is wrong. But today, that belief, that way of living, comes under the strict judgment of God, because God has made peace with our world, not through weapons or victory or might or subjugation, but through a naked, bleeding man with his arms outstretched on an execution stake. Jesus brings healing and peace and hope to a world not through coercion, not through violence, but through sacrifice, through love. The story of the cross will change everything if we let it. If we take it seriously, it will profoundly change who we are. We will not seek power through force or might, but through humility and weakness. We will not seek retribution or retaliation. We will seek forgiveness and reconciliation. We will not seek to dominate. We will not seek to win. We will seek out ways to serve and to love. There's a slogan in this year's presidential election cycle that focuses on making our nation great again. Make our nation great again, we have been told, by building walls, by dehumanizing people who are different than us, by bullying our opponents, by inciting violence. Such may have been the way of Rome, but for we who follow the one who was on the cross, rather than the ones who put him there, our message is not about becoming great again. The message of the cross is this: make Christianity least again. It sounds like foolishness, I know. But today, Good Friday, it's God's ultimate rejection of the greatness of the world, the greatness the world proclaims. It is God's rejection of victory built on brutality, of peace based in violence, of greatness built on conquest. We preach Christ crucified because at the Annunciation, his mother Mary sings of a world in which the mighty are cast down and the rich are sent away empty. We preach Christ crucified because Jesus teaches us that the last will be first and the first will be last. We preach Christ crucified because the ones Jesus spent his lifetime loving were the lowly and the lost and the least. We preach Christ crucified because it is on a cross, of all places, that Jesus accomplishes our salvation, that Jesus makes his glory fully known, that Jesus shows us the very heart of God. For many years, in the heart of the Dark Ages, Good Friday was a day to rally the masses in order to head out into the world as conquerors and warriors. It was a day when kings and popes recruited soldiers for the Crusades, when clergy incited retribution against Jews, when hate was mobilized and blood was spilled. As we leave here today, on this Good Friday, as we head out into our own dark age, remember that it is not the peace of Rome that we proclaim, but the peace of Christ. Remember that it is in giving that we receive, that it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, that it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Remember that the only force strong enough to bring about peace in our world is love. Let us go forth from here today, ready to make Christianity least again.